Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 45, your host today, Marty Jones. We want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. Hope that you have been enjoying the fall weather and perhaps a taste of winter weather that we've had recently in the San Luis Valley. Our guests today are with the Alamosa Riverfront Project, Cassandra McEwen, Program Manager, and Brian Pucciarella, who is the SLV Go Outdoor Recreation Manager. We want to thank, as always, Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So, welcome, Cassandra and Brian. Thanks for joining us today. Cassandra, you're the program manager with the Headwaters Restoration Project, specifically on the Alamosa Riverfront Project. Tell us a little bit about each of those, the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project and then the Riverfront Project.
Yeah, so the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project came out of a 2001 study that was commissioned through the San Luis Valley Water Conservancy District, and our organization began as a response to that. And what that study was is it kind of took a look at the Rio Grande to see areas that could be improved and kind of just looked at river health across the Rio Grande. And so our organization was started to respond to those things. So we first started out with doing traditional stream bank restoration, and then since then we have expanded to doing agricultural infrastructure replacement, multi-benefit river restoration projects, working on recreation projects like the Alamosa Riverfront Project. And then recently we expanded to working in our headwaters, doing some process-based restoration to, you know, help the Rio Grande and the Conejos and other rivers at their source.
And what about the Riverfront Project itself?
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll get into it a little more later, but I was hired on with the restoration project in 2023. And at that point, the Alamosa Riverfront Project was really kicking off. And so when I came on with the restoration project, my executive director, Daniel Boyce, was like, hey, do you want to work on this project? Aren't you interested? I said, absolutely. It sounds amazing and transformative. And so since then, the restoration project has been involved in fundraising and coordinating and kind of moving the project along, you know, working with the engineers and all of that stuff to get the project implemented.
And Brian, you work with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, but you're also involved in this Riverfront project as well.
Yeah, that's correct, Marty. My background on this project dates back all the way to 2016, is about how far I can go back to trying to get river access in Alamosa. About 8 years now, and finally seeing some progress, which is exciting.
Well, so give us a progress report on the Riverfront Project, each of you.
So what really kicked it off is we got funding last year in early 2023 from the Colorado State University Salazar Center Peregrine Accelerator Program. And they kind of gave us seed money to get the project going. We were able to get mentors through that program to help develop an implementation plan, an outreach plan, get us all together, give us the skills to be able to really hit the ground running with the project. And then since then, we have hired all the money for planning and design. So we began the planning and design process in March of 2024. And then since then, we've been working on that. We did public outreach and engagement throughout the summertime. And all that resulted out of that was project reach from the State Avenue Bridge down to the West Side Ditch Diversion on the Rio Grande through Alamosa. And some of the things that we're looking at are recreational improvements, which I'll let Brian dig in more on, restoring the health of the Rio Grande as best we can within the confines of an extremely altered river through Alamosa, and then also improving agricultural infrastructure further downstream at the West Side Ditch.
For our listeners who may not be aware, could you explain where the West Side Ditch is?
Yes, so it's just downstream of the Highway 160 bridge and just upstream of the railroad bridge, if folks are familiar with that, on the south side of Alamosa.
My personal interest as a whitewater kayaker originally started on this project with wanting a play wave in town. And so, like I mentioned, back in 2016, we were starting to have these conversations around what's kind of possible in our stretch of river in town. And we didn't know the answer to that. So we funded an engineering project that was funded in 2017 that really looked into like what's possible on this stretch of river, which the conclusion was not much. It's pretty flat.
It's pretty flat.
And we don't have a lot of flow. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be recreational improvements. Kind of related to this project, we have gotten two boat ramps put in town, as our listeners are probably aware, at State Ave and at the North River Pavilion. And those were kind of easy in comparison because they're not within the formal levee structure. And so that's why we were able to like pretty quickly find funds and build those. Inside the levee, it's more complicated. There's lots of federal agencies involved to ensure that first and foremost, our town is not destroyed by a flood. And so that's our big confining factor. After that, what we're looking for recreational improvements is access, especially in Cole Park. I think everyone can agree we want like Cole Park to have this nice beachfront. Like that should be the main area people access the river. We're looking at boat ramps, probably somewhere at the top in the south end of the project, somewhere around Cole Park. Not motorboats or anything like that, but personal watercraft. So now there'll be 3, maybe 4 access points along the Rio Grande to put in or take out so you can adjust that length of float that you want to do. We're going to ensure that the dam downstream is passable in watercraft. So we're not just like capping where people can float, but setting it up for future downstream flows as well, which is going to be important.
So the downstream dam that you're talking about, that's the head gate for the West Side Ditch? Or?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, the West Side Ditch. I would not recommend people paddle through there right now. So we want to make sure there's safe boat passage with this project.
So potentially, at some point in the future, you could take a personal watercraft, a canoe, kayak, something of that sort, all the way from the North River Pavilion, maybe to the Alamosa National Wildlife Area?
Yeah, you will run into another dam at the top of the National Wildlife Area, which is another one I maybe wouldn't paddle. You know, as we update dams across the state in the Rio Grande and elsewhere, like I think it's important that every dam has some kind of way around it or through it for paddlers, especially on such a historic stretch like the Rio Grande.
And I would add also, just downstream of the West Side Ditch is the railroad bridge. That is a hazard as well. And from the restoration project's perspective is, even though it's not possible to really float further downstream than the West Side Ditch at this point, we try to set up all of our diversion replacements to be able to accommodate that because we don't want to be the confining factor moving forward for floating.
Thanks. We all appreciate that.
Yeah.
You guys mentioned the Corps of Engineers and the levee projects and the recertification that has to be done. Where does all of that fit? And what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Yeah, so originally when we got started on this project last year, we were like, oh no, the city's going through the levee recertification process while we're trying to do this project. But the further we got into it, the more that we realized that this was actually an opportunity to do the project. And so the city's levee recertification process is way further out than the Alamosa Riverfront project will be. And the way that it works out right now is that when we get designs to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as soon as possible, they can actually integrate that into the designs for the levee recertification. So that way our project is worked seamlessly into all of the engineering that needs to go into the levee recertification process. We were concerned at first about how the Army Corps would respond to us working within the levees, adding structures and things like that. And we were able to meet with them in August, and they said, as long as you do not impact the flows through Alamosa negatively, they'd be willing to work with us. And so that was really, really exciting because that was an unknown for a long time. And we were concerned that we would go through this whole design process, take it to the Army Corps, and they'd tell us, no, no way. So it was really cool to hear from them that they'd be willing to work with us.
So you guys talked earlier about the beach in Cole Park. Will that be, that's on the west side of the river, right? And will there be a levee between Cole Park and the beach? So people have to walk over the levee to get to the beach area?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be on the west side, on the Cole Park side, south of the pedestrian bridge, between the pedestrian bridge and the highway, 160.
Yeah, okay.
And if you looked at it now, you would notice that it's very steep and kind of straight down into the water. And so there's just not room to put a beach there currently. And, you know, like we mentioned, we're not allowed to negatively impact the flows and flood capacity. So we're having to actually pull that levee back to create a beachfront.
Okay.
That's a really exciting new development. Last year, Andy Rice from the city and I presented to City Council, and City Council unanimously approved us moving forward with the levee setback. So that was really, really exciting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And once the design is done and you submit it to the engineers, you're pretty confident that they'll be okay with that also?
Yes, as long as our engineers can prove that we don't negatively impact floods through Alamosa. So that's the sticking point, but I feel confident that we've got good engineers to do that.
Excellent. That's pretty exciting. You know, I went to the first of the informational meetings, and all the designs looked really cool. It was a lot. We often hear things like, well, it's not going to be like Salida. It's not going to be like Del Norte, where they do have a little bit of a play wave. Tell us why the Riverfront project is unique to Alamosa.
Yeah, I'll kick us off. I would say the first thing is just geographical limitations. Our river flows at 1 mile per foot downhill through town, which is basically a skinny lake. So, yeah, we just don't have the flow or the drop to do like cool whitewater features like people might be thinking about in Salida or BV or Pagosa or Del Norte, right? What we do have is flat water. And so that's not negative, right? Like for some of us paddlers, maybe, but it creates an opportunity for more like family-friendly recreation. And I think that's something we're really trying to lean into here. So it'll be very beginner-friendly, tubing, paddling, sups, tubes, kayaks, that kind of personal watercraft. And we're hoping to make that whole stretch better for all of that as well. So that's part of the conversation, I think.
Cool. You know, years ago, before I moved to Alamosa, I lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota. The Red River of the North, which is a pretty flat river, runs through the Red River Valley and on into Canada. And in Grand Forks, no possibilities for play waves or anything. But they did have, at least once a summer, canoe races that went both upstream and back downstream. Because it was flat enough and the current wasn't so tremendous that you couldn't move upstream. That's a possibility here in Alamosa as well. You could paddle from Cole Park, the bottom of Cole Park, all the way up to the North River Pavilion, turn around and come back.
Yeah, the Rio Trio Adventure Triathlon race that we have every summer was built around this idea of, well, we don't have the most epic mountain bike trails or trail running or paddling, but together we can, you know, create a pretty cool race with what we do have. And that 2 mile flat water paddle in the Rio Trio is already quite a lot for some people. So
it doesn't have to be as long a race as I had indicated.
Yeah.
And if you're doing a two person canoe, you know, you've got more horsepower to get upstream.
I'm all in on canoe races. Yeah. Count me in.
Okay.
I need to participate in some of these though, not just host them all. So maybe I want to race this one, yeah.
Besides adding long overdue and much needed access to river recreation, what else is the project looking to accomplish?
Yeah, so obviously recreation is a huge part of the project. And what makes this special to Alamosa as well is, you know, just kind of speaking to trying to improve the natural condition of the Rio Grande through Alamosa as best we can. Again, we are extremely confined by the levees. Even the flows down in Alamosa are not natural flows. I mean, we have such a developed river. So some of the things that we're looking at are things like fish passage. So at the West Side Ditch, not only will it be passable by boats, but it'll also be passable by fish. Right now, that's a confining point at certain flows. So we want fish to be able to pass from downstream to upstream and access other habitat. We also have backwater habitat areas, which are kind of Some of them exist already in the river through Alamosa, back in the cattails, and it's just areas of deeper water where fish can take refuge, especially when we're talking about, you know, this area of river is overrun by carp and pike, non-native fish, and there are potentially native fish in that area, so we want to give them a place to kind of hang out and hide from being eaten by pike. So the backwater habitat areas will provide areas for the fish to kind of hang out. In low flows, which we all know, Alamosa gets super duper duper low and shallow there, the water gets really, really hot, and that's not good for fish. So it'll give some kind of deeper areas to escape from those hotter temperatures and take refuge. And along that same line, we're planning on creating a low flow channel from the State Avenue Bridge down to the West Side Ditch Diversion. And essentially what that is dredging out the middle of the river to kind of make a deeper spot where the river can channel into at lower flows. So we'll have the same amount of water, but it'll be in a deeper area and kind of give the feel and the look of a deeper river through Alamosa. So those are some of the things that we're looking at. And then, you know, like I mentioned, replacing the West Side Ditch is a huge part of this project as well. That ditch does impact the river almost up to the State Avenue Bridge. And so we just want to replace that, make sure that that functions for the water users, of course. That's our main priority there. And again, while making it fish passable, boat passable, and seeing what we can kind of do with the hydrology of the river through Alamosa with that.
Do you guys have any last thoughts or any information? Any additional information that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I guess I do want to give an update on the results of all of the community engagement that we did over the summer. So again, this project, you know, Brian said he's been working on it for a really, really long time. A lot of planning and community engagement got us up to this point. We are doing this because it is what the community wanted. Our initial designs were based on those, so we kind of had a jumping off point. And then this summer, we kind of focused on, hey, this is what we heard from you over the years through various planning and community engagement efforts. Did we get it right? So some of the things that we are incorporating into our final designs that we heard from the community are trying to make sure that as much of the project is ADA accessible as possible. Admittedly, that wasn't something that we really dug into at first. Some of it was going to be ADA accessible, but not all of it. Community safety is another issue that came up a lot during the community engagement. You know, when we're creating these spaces, how do we also create a space where the community feels safe using them? And so, yeah, we got a lot of really good constructive feedback from the community. It was very well received, and we are moving forward with the levee setback because the community overwhelmingly supported it. And so I guess I just want to thank everyone that was involved in that, because we really wanted to create a project that spoke to the culture of Alamosa, spoke to the community, is something that the community wanted, and I think that we're going to get there because people took time out of their day to be involved in all this.
Cassandra, do you have a timeline for the project moving forward? Is there another opportunity for public engagement after plans have been developed?
So we are planning another community meeting once we get the final designs, which we're hoping to be wrapped up in January of 2025. That community meeting is going to be more centered on, these are the final designs, this is what you can expect to be constructed. So really we were focusing on getting the feedback over the summertime, and there isn't really opportunities moving forward for that. But what we are focusing on is keeping the community informed on how the project is progressing over time. And there's a lot that needs to happen before construction. We need to raise a lot of money for it. So right now we're looking at fall of 2026 for construction potentially, but there's so much that can happen between now and then that might delay that timeline.
And do you have a sense of when the levee recertification, I mean, will this be at the same time?
Oh, the levee recertification is going to be like 10 plus years.
Okay.
So definitely yeah. Not.
So the Riverfront Project will beat out the levee.
It sure will.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that's because the city has been an amazing partner.
Well, Thank you both for joining us. Cassandra McEwen, Program Manager with the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project, and Brian Pucciarella, SLV Great Outdoors Outdoor Recreation Manager. We'll be right back with some outdoor conditions after a brief sponsor break.
Do you have an idea that could make life in Bonavista even better? Maybe it's new chemistry equipment that will inspire high school students, or medical kits that will help police officers respond to emergencies, or maybe it's transforming a former church into a new community art space. Every day, Bonavista locals are making their community better with a little support from the Lore Foundation. To share an idea and learn how Lore can help, contact Yvette Atencio at ivette@lorefoundation.org.
The valley's high-altitude sun is doing its thing and melting the snow that we had recently. And Wolf Creek Ski Area reports a year-to-date snowfall of 66 inches. The 29-inch base at Wolf Creek is the best of Colorado's open ski areas, which include Copper Mountain, A-Basin, Winter Park, Loveland Ski Area, and Keys. Snowpack levels across the state are currently 22% of normal here in mid-November. And now the news. Today, we're talking cats, wolves, and dark skies. By nearly 55% of the vote, Colorado voters shot down the prospect of banning the hunting of mountain lions and the hunting and trapping of bobcats. Proposition 127 was put forth by a group called Cats Aren't Trophies. Their aim was to ban big cat hunting due to perceived unethical hunting practices. The proposition would have also included banning the hunting and trapping of lynx, but they're already a federally protected species and will remain so. Voters made their preference known and rejected Proposition 127. On the wolf front, Colorado Parks and Wildlife has started planning for its next round of gray wolf releases. CPW officials have met with county commissioners in Rio Blanco County, Garfield County, Eagle County, and Pitkin County in preparation for the next release. As we move forward with the Colorado Wolf Restoration and Management Plan, which is mandated by law, we are committed to having conversations with local elected officials and communities near the possible release areas, said CPW Director Jeff Davis. The state agency said final release site decisions will not be made until the operation is underway. If you are a local business owner or a homeowner in Alamosa and you change out your outdoor lighting, you'll have to comply with the City of Alamosa's new dark sky lighting policy. The Alamosa City Council adopted a less restrictive dark sky lighting ordinance than what experts recommend to keep down night light pollution. But a policy was adopted nonetheless at the request of SLV GO, that's SLV Great Outdoors, the Great Sand Dunes National Park, and other organizations who are pushing for full compliance with international dark sky standards in an effort to establish the Sangre de Cristo Dark Sky Reserve. You can read the new ordinance that outlines Alamosa's new requirements for outdoor lighting for local businesses and home properties on alamosacitizen.com. Where the dark skies really show up is at the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve. It's also the place that frankly drives the tourism of the valley, and 2024 was no exception. The national park has surpassed 400,000 visitors again this year, according to data from the National Park Service. The Sand Dunes was sitting at 419,151 visitors for the year, following the month of October's count of 36,114 visitors. The National Park has surpassed 400,000 visitors every year since 2017. Next up, we have a look at a couple of upcoming outdoor events. On Tuesday, November 19th, the public is invited to a public meeting in Trinidad, hosted by Colorado Parks and Wildlife, to comment on how Fisher's Peak State Park will be managed over the next 10 years. The meeting will take place from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Trinidad State College's Pioneer Room inside the Sullivan Center, 600 Prospect Street, Trinidad, Colorado. The plan is important because just over 16 miles of trails and limited hunting opportunities are currently open to the public while the park continues to be designed and constructed. In addition to the public meetings, CPW will accept public input through December 13th. And for our last calendar item, we have something a little different. On November 16th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Rye Resurgence Project and 1874 Distillery are hosting a release party for the San Luis Valley three-grain whiskey. The whiskey is farmed by Rye Resurgence Project farmers, malted by Colorado Malting, and aged and bottled by 1874 Distillery, there in Del Norte. The party and the whiskey celebrate the San Luis Valley's ecosystem of water and land management, grain farming, malting, and distilling. Outside of a handful of estate bottlings, a whiskey where 100% of its grain bill has been grown, malted, distilled, aged, and bottled locally is frankly unheard of. 1874's SLV 3 grain will be their mainstay whiskey. Along with distillery tours, there will also be a host of conversations to highlight the chain of people and resources from seed to bottle that were involved locally in production. Plus, local foods, cocktails, and music, of course. I wonder if they're going to be playing Whiskey Before Breakfast, or Farewell to Whiskey, or Whiskey in the Jar. Who knows? The event is free and open to locals of all ages, if accompanied by an adult. Food and cocktails will be available for purchase, and RSVP is required. Just visit ryeresurgence.com. That's ryeresurgence.com. Here's what the label on the back of the bottle says. We think it's pretty cool. From seed to bottle, our San Luis Valley three-grain whiskey, crafted from rye, barley, and summer wheat, was harvested, malted, distilled, and aged entirely in Colorado's premier high alpine valley. The grains in this whiskey are a pure expression of the exceptional flavor produced from the place and community we call home. In collaboration with the Rye Resurgence Project, the rye used by 1874 Distilling Limited in this whiskey saves approximately 183 gallons of water per bottle from San Luis Valley aquifers. Resurgence rye is grown using water conservation and soil regeneration practices by multi-generational farming's family with a commitment to land stewardship. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Join us next time when we talk with Suzanne Beauchesne and Don Thompson from the San Juan Nordic Ski Club. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Go and is produced and edited by Owen Woods. If you have an outdoor adventure that you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear in a future episode, send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. And again, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This has been Marty Jones, and we'll see you outdoors.
San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is a proud sponsor of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast, produced and published by AlamosaCitizen.com, where we bring outdoor stories to you. SLV Go builds pathways to connect. Whether building and maintaining trail systems across the San Luis Valley with the Great Outdoors Action Team, providing inclusive opportunities for families in the outdoors with SLV Generation Wild, jumpstarting community coalitions that turn ideas into reality, leading community adventures with the Embajadores, and holding space for conversation around the balance of conservation and recreation. SLV Go has a mission to provide residents and visitors throughout the San Luis Valley with accessible and inclusive outdoor recreation opportunities that balance conservation, connect communities, improve wellness, encourage stewardship, and contributes to the economic vitality of the region. Don't forget to share your outdoor adventures with us via the Outdoor Field Report. Until next time, we will see you on the trails.